Our tech guru, Jesse Feiler, joins us once again to discuss current trends in tech. This morning, we talk about customer success, a topic so nuanced you may need an at-home advisor. Jesse Feiler writes and publishes books and apps about the theater, particularly about Uta Hagen and Herbert Berghoff, as well as technology, often from Apple and community development, such as the annual Jane's Walks, sponsored by Friends of the Saranac River Trail. It's always a pleasure to welcome Jesse Feiler to the program. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. Good to be here.
Wonderful to have you on the program. So let us talk about what we're ultimately discussing this morning are jobs and opportunities. Is that correct?
Jobs and opportunities on one side, and on the other side, being able to talk to people who have those jobs and opportunities.
Okay. So in other words... Yeah, the customer and the person who is...
The customee.
Yes, that's right.
I don't think that's one of the new terms.
So you make the point is there was a time when we would go and we would think of, well, sort of you go to a help desk, right?
Yes.
And you would look for help.
Yes.
And now, as I mentioned in the introduction, it's all about customer success.
Yes.
Right? They want you to be successful trying to figure out what they have sold you.
Yes. And it's not to be too cynical on this. I realized as I started looking into this and noticing that the language, the vocabulary is changing, I go back to my first job. I was still in school. I worked for an ad agency called Young and Rubicam, one of the great agencies.
Yeah.
This was right after the Mad Men period. And at one point, I remember, I just suddenly remembered when I was coming down here today, I remembered it was the Vietnam War was raging, and Chuck Overholser, who was the head of research at Y&R, issued an edict that said we were going to change the way in which we talked about advertising. We were no longer going to target the audience and the consumer because that was a warlike term, target. Mm. It was an accurate term, but he said, let's stop talking about targeting people.
Okay.
So periodically, not just ad agencies, but everyone changes their terminology. We've had a lot of changes socially in our terminology now.
Sure.
And I think this is one of the things that's happening, and it goes back to all of these adventures I've had, Apple Guide that we talked about. And when Apple came up with Apple Guide, it replaced things that were called help. And the idea was a guide does not carry with it the implication that you, the user, are stupid or in trouble.
Right.
So all of these things are floating around.
And it is a more positive term that you are looking for success as opposed to a cry for help.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
And the terminology seems to have caught on fairly quickly. Whether that is because it's such a useful and accurate term or whether that's because they just had a whole bunch of those T-shirts made and they want to get rid of them.
All right. So where does that bring us when it comes to an at-home advisor? What is an at-home advisor?
At-home is exactly what it sounds like. What we're finding is that particularly in the tech world, we got used to calling or contacting a help desk or support or something to get us out of trouble. So
right.
Now we're turning around and making it positive. So instead of help, it's an advisor.
Right.
And some of these advisors, if you look on at-home advisor on jobs on the internet, you'll find that many of them are no longer the sort of low-level jobs that we used to. We're talking to fairly sophisticated people, and some of the companies, Apple is one that's doing this, are hiring people who know the technology so that you can contact those people. That's what an at-home advisor is. It may be technology, it may be insurance uses it, so that you are not going through, first of all, you're getting rid of the idea of talking to people who are going to help you out of trouble.
Yeah.
so you go to something positive. And also, the people that you are talking to are people who really know what's going on. It's no longer you describe your problem and someone says, okay, I can route you to the correct person. You get, ideally, to the right person right at the beginning.
So the phrase itself, at-home advisor, are they at their home, or are they they're helping you at your home, or they just want to make you feel like you're at home?
They're usually at their home.
Okay.
And if you look, it's very interesting to look on the internet for at-home advisor jobs and see what's there and what the qualifications are, because the qualifications tend to be that you know the thing you're advising on. That's a major one. Another qualification that at-home advisors need to have in order to get these jobs is not just that they know what they're doing, but they can speak well and help people deal with issues so that people are not bounced around from one person to another.
Okay, so I'm all for that, not being bounced around from one person to another. And I certainly would love to always blame the person on the other end of the phone for a bad experience. But I do feel sometimes that when I'm calling specifically for assistance, I'm looking for success, that what I don't have the vocabulary, to properly explain what my problem is, so I end up somewhere where I shouldn't. Am I being too hard on myself?
Yes.
Okay.
You're not too hard.
Okay. All right.
But the but as is always the case with things in the tech world.
Yes.
We just happen to have a solution right here in my handy little
bag. Great.
And the solution, the thing that has come into play in the last, I'd say it's about in the last 5 years, if you call up or contact some kind of assistance guide, whatever success person you're going to be dealing with, and you make contact there, and you don't know how to describe what's happening, have you noticed what has gone on in the last 5 years as this scenario unfolds? You don't know how to describe what's happening. What happens at the other end of the conversation, whether it's a chat or a phone call?
Well, they'll ask some strategic questions, hopefully.
Yes. That is what we refer to, no offense, as the old-fashioned way of doing things.
Okay.
The new-fashioned way of doing things, which seems to have cropped up in about 5 years ago, is that the person with whom you are conversing or chatting says... And these are people who are sympathetic.
Oh, I know where you're going, but okay, go ahead.
And where, see if this is where you thought I was going. That person will say, would it be okay if I share my screen with you?
That's
share
right.
Your
just,
screen.
They just jump right in and say, I'm there. So they are seeing what you are seeing.
They're seeing what you're seeing.
Which is great.
It's great, and it gets rid of the whole thing of explaining what is going on, because instead of describing, this is what I'm seeing on my screen.
Right.
They can see it.
Yeah.
And if you notice on the successful people who are doing this, on the companies that are doing it successful, have you noticed what happens in these conversations? They say, can we share this? Can I share your screen so I can see what you're looking at? And you usually say yes.
Yes.
And then so they can see what you're doing, and you can see where they're pointing with a cursor onto the screen.
Now, what they if I'm following you right, what I notice is that they don't do it; they want you to do it.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah,
they can see it, and even though it might be one tap or one mouse click, they don't.
Right.
They might move the pointer, and they say, this is where you should click.
They're leading the witness. Yes.
They lead the witness. And as an obedient witness, you say, yes, that's what I want to do.
Right.
And then it works or it doesn't. And if it doesn't work, then you can move on to other things. So the screen sharing is incredibly important. It facilitates this and makes this what's now become at-home advisor work.
Now, sometimes it can be, they'll say, oh, well, maybe this is, and I'm just making this up, but sometimes they'll say, well, this is a hardware issue, this is a software issue, and then you can get farmed out to other people. Is that still happens, right?
It can still happen. They could say, I'm escalating this, or they're not allowed to say things like drop dead.
That's good.
There must be a list of these things.
The thing I find very handy in this, and I've recently had this with a purchase of an appliance, which is when you call up a help ticket or whatever, a number is assigned to your case number, and while you're there, you get a text. So
yes.
No matter what happens, the notes are in the system, and when you call back, if you have to call back, you just refer to that number, and Tina knows exactly what Gus was just working on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's interesting it seems like some of these technologies that have been around for a while, and we've talked about some of them, are now clicking together, and that's what I find very exciting.
Now, we have some time, so let me ask you about the question that obviously is going to come up is, how safe are we in this environment? So
you can read my notes upside down on this, right?
and I've had this problem, I will admit to you, I've had this problem, that often you will get something on your occasionally something will come up in your computer, and it will flash, and it will say, this horrible thing has happened to your computer. Here's the number for the Apple Help Center. And you call it, and you find out, oh, maybe this isn't the Apple Help Center or the success counter or whatever you want. That would be an idea of a scam, right?
That would be a definite scam. And in the way in which you outlined it, it is obvious that it's a scam. And
right.
Why is it obvious that it's a scam?
Because they wouldn't give you the number.
Even more obvious than that. When something like that happens, something goes wrong or something,
yeah.
If you get the message from the company, from your bank or whatever, that says something has happened, you have to do this, it's almost always
that's
a
right.
scam.
Yeah.
If you initiate the transaction,
yes.
Chances are pretty good it's going to be real.
Now, but there's still a problem that exists, right? So there's still something that is causing the issue, and then you have to, so then you don't call that number, you call the other number, and then they can help you.
Or you contact your bank, or
correct.
Whatever. Use something other than the contact that this spam message has given you.
Yeah. And they, and my wife and I talk about this all the time, but it is there is a sophistication in the scamming that is quite high, in the sense of where they will ask you, now whether it's true or not, I don't know, but they'll say, oh, thank you. We know you're dialing from this number, and we have matched your voice recognition. And you're like, oh, well, they know who I am. And then you find out, well, no, they really don't.
Well, it's interesting. If you keep track or sort of pay attention to some of the spam messages that most of us get in one way or another.
Yes.
I'm always, some of them are quite sophisticated.
Yeah.
And it's quite
clever.
You have to give them some credit. For example, off the top of your head, how many coronavirus spam messages do you suppose you've had?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know, a few.
Not
a lot.
It's there.
Yeah.
Not a lot. But I think I've had like maybe fewer than five. But they're out there.
Yes.
There are people reading the newspapers, watching television, doing all of these things to be an informed citizen for the purpose of being able to come up with a new spam.
Yes.
Jip.
They're gonna get you somehow.
But so whenever the more urgent it appears to be, even something urgent from some name from your address book, so and so has sent you an urgent message. If it really is frightening you, if it is someone you really know, you have an opportunity to contact them using some other device or some other avenue.
I know this happened to me while I was in the hospital, where we got a call, and it was something that was very similar to it. It was urgent. And then I figured, you know, everyone that I care about is in this room right now. So you know what? You don't care, right? You sort of like, oh, okay. It can't be that important.
Yeah.
Because my team is here. I probably know what's going on. The other thing I find fascinating about all of this is, when we talk about the sophistication, is that it does come down to, I feel that we as a public are becoming more sophisticated. We have our antennae is up to this, and yet you can still find yourself succumbing to something stupid. I mean, you may catch on eventually, but sometimes you're just like, oh, well, why did I fall for that?
Well, and yes, and one of the things that's because this is a lot of at-home things are prone to problems of this sort, and that's one of the interesting things that's going on if you start looking at the things like at-home advisors. If you see a job or an opportunity to become an at-home advisor, and you say, this would be great, I can set my own hours, I can do all of this stuff, it sounds wonderful, that in and of itself can be a scam. There's a lot of those going around.
Yeah.
And some of the warning signs of that one is if you see these work-from-home gigs, if it involves paying anything to be part of this project, you know, buying some equipment, that's almost always a problem. But if you look at some of the legitimate work-at-home jobs, and it's worth looking at these to see what's going on, you can find opportunities to work at home using screen sharing, and that's... You don't usually have to invest in that, but you need to have a broadband connection so that you can do screen sharing with the people you are advising. You need that. You need not to have data caps so that you're not going to run out of juice. But you can do that. And some of these work-from-home advisor jobs are salaried.
I was going to ask you, how do they pay?
Salaried.
Yeah.
With benefits.
Wow.
Let's
just take Apple, for example, as a company, but are they the ones hiring you, or are they farming that out?
I'm not sure which parts of it. Mostly, Apple is one of the ones that pays benefits.
Okay.
And salaries.
All right. So it comes from them.
So it's coming from them. And if you look at Home Advisor on Apple, you'll see how it works. And you can apply for it and get it.
And good luck. Yeah.
Yeah. it's a valid thing. And my guess is that as more and more companies are going this route of providing support, success, whatever you want to call it, using work-at-home people,
yeah,
as that becomes more prevalent and it takes shape and people start to realize that there are jobs to be had there so that good people can start doing it, I think we're going to see more of it. And the fact that Apple has laid down a marker for giving benefits to these positions is going to spread.
Well, it is always good to talk to you about these things. And this is some positive job news. That's good.
I think it's wonderful because we've always thought it would be wonderful to work from home. We have the technology.
Here's a way.
Things were missing, but I think they're starting to fall into shape.
I think I can do it during the panel and make a couple extra bucks. Just kidding.
well, you could organize the panel in the tradition. Let's not go there.
Okay, fine. Jesse Feiler is our tech guru. It's always good to see you. Thank you very much.
Good.
You can find out all the cool stuff that Jesse's talked about. He has his website, which is jessefeiler.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.